Good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here on this Sunday in Thanksgiving, November. We're looking forward to just giving God thanks this year. And my focus has been toward that and just thinking about what can we do, what can we focus on that can really, I think, raise up a spirit and a heart of thanksgiving to the Lord. So what we're going to do beginning today is I want to begin to unpack what I think are four biblical foundations for thanksgiving and just things for you to focus on and to think about this Thanksgiving season. So today is giving thanks to God for the power of His Word. And I want you to open your Bibles, if you haven't already, and look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And you're going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. And really, the message is encapsulating the whole chapter. And it would do you well when service is over to go back and just read the whole chapter. But I'm going to focus on verse 7, 8, and 9. Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether." So we're going to be talking about the four pillars of Thanksgiving this holiday season, and today about the power of Scripture. And here's what I want you to think about this morning with me, just as we ask God to just help us focus this morning and really absorb what He wants to say to us about the Word. And here's the thing. Whatever life changes that technology brings to us, and technology, of course, is changing our lives every day. Stuff is just changing all around us. So whatever changes technology brings, whatever is going to happen in our world economically here in the States or the world over, and whatever is going to happen in politics, and good Lord knows we have no idea what that's going to be, there are three unchanging realities. They never change. And let me tell you what they are. It is, number one, that the Bible, the Word of God, is the only authoritative truth. The Word is the only authoritative truth. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think or anybody else thinks. What matters is, what does the Word say? That's what we believe. And then number two, Jesus is Lord. It never changes. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Word of God is the authoritative truth. And number three, we have to always be getting the gospel right. We have to get the gospel right. What do we teach of what is the gospel of Jesus Christ that gets men and women into heaven? And here's the thing. You and I will never get the last two right unless we stand on number one. And that is the final authority of the Word of God. And if there is anything that I want happening in your home and I want it happening in my home this Thanksgiving season, it is that we will thank God for the power and the authority of the Word, because it is the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that absolutely changes lives. It is the Word that has changed your life. Can you say amen to that? That is what it has done. You remember Pilate asked Jesus at one point when he was in his presence, he said, "What is truth?" It's a great question. Do you know what the answer is? The answer is, truth is the way it really is. Truth is the way it really is. Truth is reality. And so I want you to go home this morning. I want everybody going home in all three services with the same thing. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. And here it is. The most important truth is the truth that tells you and all the people in the next two services the way it really is with your soul. The way it is with your soul and the way it really is with your eternal destiny. That's what's important. That is the most important thing. Where are you going to go when you die? What is the condition of your soul and my soul? All of us are going to live forever somewhere. That's what the Bible says. And understanding the truth that relates to that is the most important thing of all. And here's the deal. Ever since Satan came to Eve in the garden and he challenged what God had said, he said to her, "What God told you isn't true. If you eat this fruit, you will not die." And ever since then, there has been an attack on the Word of God. The Bible has been under attack. It is always under attack. And that is something you and I need to understand. Troy Perry was founder and former leader of the Homosexual Metropolitan Community Church movement. There was a debate that was held between Mr. Perry and a biblical scholar on the subject, is homosexuality allowed in the Bible? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible scholar, of course, took the biblical position on homosexuality. And Perry came back with this statement. Now, listen to what he said. He said, "Well, the Bible is sociologically, philosophically, and psychologically antiquated. And it reflects the biases of the people at the time. We cannot expect it to understand," wait for it, "the sophistication of our kind of society." Can you not hear the hiss of hell in those words? And all he tried to do is dismiss the Word of God as being outdated, which is interesting. So you and I are engaged in a battle. I'm in this battle, you're in it, whether you realize it or not, that the Bible has a role to play. And people will say that, "Well, the Bible is a good book, I grant you that." But so is psychology and philosophy and the fluctuating morality of our days. And we have to interpret the Bible in juxtaposition to what's going on in our world. Now, if you do that, that creates an issue. Because if we can add and alter or discard parts of the Bible, who's to say what's true? Who is to say what's not, should not be in there, what's relevant and what's outdated? You see the mess that happens? Once you open that door, it's a free-for-all. So here's the truth I want you to notice in your outline. The meaning of Scripture is the Scripture. The meaning of Scripture is the Scripture. In other words, the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. And this morning, the thing that blesses me is that my Father has spoken to you, and he's spoken to me, and bless his name, he hasn't mumbled. If God has mumbled, if things are not clear, we are hopeless, and we have nothing. But here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. The attack today is on the perspicuity or the clarity of Scripture. That's where the battle is. Hell is whispering in our ears and in the ears of so many in leadership in our country. And the word is this: nobody has it all right about God. Right and wrong are life and death. We don't have it right. We can't get it right. Let's be tolerant of everything. Let's, take a little from Hinduism, a little from Buddhism. Let's hear from everybody who has had some kind of spiritual experience. Let's not be divisive. Let's not be unloving. Isn't that what you hear? Isn't that what's being perpetrated upon our country? This is the battle of our day. And I want you to understand something. It is extremely successful. And the reason it is successful is because Jesus has already told us. Jesus told us in the Word, Satan from the beginning was a what? Liar. That's why it's successful. Satan is a liar and he's very good at it. Now, back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is God's testimony to me and to you about the two things, the power and the sufficiency of his Word. Now look back at verse 7, 8, and 9. In verse 7, he says, Scripture is the law of the Lord. Scripture is the testimony of the Lord. In verse 8, he says, Scripture is the precept of the Lord. It is the commandment of the Lord. Verse 9, Scripture is the fear of the Lord. It is the judgment of the Lord. Now, what I want you to notice is in every case, it's of the Lord, 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 of the Lord. It's almost like God says, do you understand where this is coming from? This is from me. All of these things are from me. God wanted us to make sure that we understand the origin of Scripture. It is not up for debate. God says what he says, and he means what he means. Can you say amen for that? So what I want to do, let me just kind of dive into this, because I want you, your family, and my family, this Thanksgiving season, one of the things when you gather around the meal and you say, I wonder what we need to be thankful for, the first thing I want you to think about is, Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the word of God. And let me tell you why. Number one is because the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. And here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible says that God is our manufacturer. God made me and he made you. And he says that the Holy Scripture is his manual for our lives. In other words, God made me, and then he has given me his Bible, and he says, here's the operation manual. This is what you follow in order for this to function at maximum capacity. Does that make sense? And so that's why God has given us the word. And in this regard, he says the word of God is perfect. Now, what does he mean by that? Perfect, not as opposed to imperfect, but perfect as opposed to incomplete. Incomplete. So here's the insight in your outline. The Bible leaves out nothing of how we should live our lives. In other words, everything that's in the Word needs to be there. And there is nothing left out of the Word that should be there. And notice what it says in verse 7. It says, the Word restores my soul. And the Hebrew word there for soul is nephesh. And it means the inner man. And what God is simply saying is the Word of God. Now listen, the Word of God is totally capable and is fitted and suitable to restore my soul, your soul, the soul of your son, the soul of your daughter, the soul of your husband, the soul of your wife. And the Bible says, the Scripture says, it restores to life the inner man. The Word of God has the power to give life. Now listen, it has the power to give life to the dead. And what I'm telling you is that when you've got somebody you love that is wayward, somebody that is running away from God, somebody that's living a life that is giving you grief after grief after grief, it is not your words that are going to make a difference. It is the Word of God that is going to make the difference. That's what God wants us to understand. Why? Because the Bible says all men are dead in trespasses and sins, right? That means we are born dead to God. And sometimes when you look in the face of a husband, a wife, or a son, or a daughter, you see them and you're talking about the Lord, and it's just like nothing is happening there. Let me tell you something. It's because they are dead to him. You ever tried talking to a dead person? It's a one-sided conversation. Dead people don't talk. And somebody who is dead in trespasses and sins cannot talk to you about spiritual things because they are dead. And what God is saying is that we give thanks this Thanksgiving season because the Word of God is the hope I have if I've got a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife that I want to see go to heaven when they die. It is the Word. It is the Word that is needed. Scripture alone has the power to totally transform the human soul and to give it life. And that's why the Bible says that the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, piercing even to the soul and the spirit of a man. There is nothing that can get to the soul of a son or daughter, brother or sister, except the Word. The Word was created by God to bring life. It is life-giving. Listen, if you want to restore a marriage, if you want to turn an abuser into a lover, if you want to cause a wandering child to go back home, what do? You pray, oh God, may they fall under the power of the teaching of the Word of God. What you pray is that by the work of God, they will get somewhere in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. Why? Because it is only as they come under the influence of Scripture that life will come to their soul. Does that make sense? If it does, say amen. All right? That's what I want you to understand. Let me give you an example. Tim Evelina has this testimony that I think just absolutely blew me away. And this is what he writes. He said, I used to be in charge of all the training for the Jehovah's Witnesses in Florida up until a month ago. He said, now I'm on trial in the church as a heretic. While on a trip, I turned on the radio to hear a pastor say, Jesus is God. He said, that made me so mad, and I turned it off. But you see, he had just heard the word. And listen to what he said. He said, I could not help myself. And I just started laughing. He said, I couldn't help myself. And he said, I turned it back on. And the guy went on to show from the Bible that Jesus was God. And I said, I don't believe that. That's a lie. Jesus is not God. Jesus is a created being. Well, the guy said that he'd be teaching on the series for 2 weeks on the radio. He said, I couldn't help myself. He said, I listened to all 10 days. And then he said, on Friday of the last week, I got down in my motel room on my knees. And I cried out and said, Jehovah, if you came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ, show me. Show me. And he said, before the sun rose that next morning, I was in Christ. And I committed my life to the Lord Jesus. He said, but my wife and my two sons and my parents are all Jehovah's Witnesses. My dad is the patriarch of the Jehovah's Witness movement in the state of Florida. But today, all my family are in Christ. Amen. And he says, a huge dent has been made in the Jehovah's Witness movement in Florida. Bless the Lord. Amen. So this Thanksgiving, you can say, Father, we want to bless you and thank you for the law of the Lord that is completely capable of giving life to that which is dead. And it is because of your word. All of us who are in Christ are in Christ because we came under the influence of the law of the Lord. The God who made us, he taught us through his law. All right, then number three, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony is sure. The insight is this. Scripture is God's own self-disclosure. In other words, the Bible tells me about what God wants me to know about him. And I get all I need to be saved and all I need to know about God from the Bible. Why? Listen, because the Bible is God's testimony about himself. And that's the beauty of Psalm 19. The first six verses, if you go back a little bit later on and you read the first six verses of Psalm 19, it talks about God revealing him as the author and the maker of all creation. And he says in Scripture that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And then it talks about the sun. Now, you understand, this Scripture was written centuries before men ever learned and saw that the sun is moving through space. I don't know if you knew that. We usually think about our planets going around the sun. But at the same time that all the planets are going around the sun is moving. And that is exactly what you read in Psalm 19. It talks about the sun coming out and going the circuit of space. And that is exactly what scientists have found out today. The sun is dragging our solar system through space. It is not in space where it was when you and I came into this world. And God says that only shows his glory. That is a picture of his power. But there's also what men need to know about God in order for us to be saved from hell and saved for heaven. And when people hear the Bible, God says they are hearing me. And that's why whenever I sit under a man's preaching, I know pretty quickly what his position is upon Scripture. If all he's going to tell me in a message is one story after another story after another story, it automatically lets me know he doesn't have very much confidence in the power of the Word of God. I don't have to tell a lot of stories. What I need to do is teach the Word. Amen? Why? Because the Word is what changes people. It is the Word that makes the difference. I just need to let God do the speaking. God is a talking God, and the Bible is God speaking to you and me. And look in your outline, the message of the Bible. Scripture is a sure word of God in a world of things that aren't sure. This is what we want people to understand. This is our attitude about Scripture, because the Bible says the testimony of the Lord is sure. What the Bible says is sure, and that means it is reliable. It is trustworthy. Why do we on the Hill encourage you to read through the Bible every year? You're going to start hearing me talk about that in January. Why do we do that? Why do we want you reading the Bible every day? Why? Because we don't trust anything else. We don't trust anything else to change people. It is only the Word. Now, I'm going to give you an insight about Scripture. All right, look at your outline. Here's the insight. The first goal of the Bible is salvation. That is the first thing the Bible is after, making you right with God. But the second goal of Scripture is sanctification, teaching you and me to do right in the eyes of the Lord. So what does the Word do? How does the Word sanctify you and me? How does it do that? Look at verse 7. It makes wise the simple. Now, that's an interesting statement. It makes wise the simple. The word for simple in the Hebrew comes from the root word that means open door. So what is a simpleton? What is a simple? When you say, I'm just a simple man, you probably need to change that. A simple-minded person is somebody whose mind is always open. I would say like a commode, but that would be crude. A simple-minded man is somebody whose mind is always open. What that means is they don't know what to embrace and what to reject. In other words, if it comes to them, they just kind of swallow it, all right? They don't know how to be discriminating. That's a simple person. It is not a good thing. And the truth in your outline, God says to live rightly, you must have a door in your mind that discriminates. And the door is Scripture. Scripture teaches me, and it teaches you, what to let in and what to keep out. It is a guard at my mind. If your confession this morning is that your life is a mess, your life is a truckload of mistakes, what does that even mean? It means that the Word of God is not in you to discriminate. If you keep going from one mistake to another, your life is a mess. What you need is the Word. Here's the insight. The Word of God is designed by the Lord to teach you how to close the door of your mind, how to be wise. And that word for wise in the Hebrew means skilled in all aspects of living. Let me tell you what to be thankful for around the Thanksgiving table. Is if you can look at your family around the table, and if your family is living a life that is honoring the Lord, if your family is living a life that they're chasing after the Holy One, if they're living a life where your kids are making good decisions and they're not shooting themselves in the foot, you can give thanks to the Lord God in heaven. Because you have been faithful as a mom or dad to get the Word of God in them. And it is the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that teaches you and me and our kids to discriminate. To say yes to some things and to say a firm no to a lot of other things. Does that make sense? And let me tell you something. If your kids are living a good life, can't you say, God, thank you? Huh? Number 4, the precepts of the Lord of the Word of God are right. It doesn't mean right as opposed to wrong. The precepts of the Lord are right, meaning they are the right path. And the word precept means a rule, imposing a standard of conduct. So what the Bible is saying is, that the law of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, are rules teaching us how to live. You know, the scripture says, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. And so what the Bible, it teaches me, what it teaches my children and my grandchildren is, this is the way for you to walk. The God who made you, the God who created you and me in our mother's womb, has given us the word to teach us, this is how you are to walk in life. This is the path for you to walk on. The Bible says there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death, right? So why should you walk in God's path as outlined in the Bible? Why should you do that? It's a great question. And the answer is this: because the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Jesus said, happy is the man who hears my word and does it. And when you do what God has said in the word, listen, when you do what God says in the word, there will be joy and gladness in your house and not sorrow and weeping. Can we not be glad for that? The apostle John wrote, he said, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. How do I have joy? I have joy when I've got a clear conscience. And the Bible says that God has given every one of us one of the same thing, and that he's given us a conscience. And the purpose of my conscience and your conscience is either to condemn me or affirm me. And it's going to do that every time. And we all know what a guilty conscience feels like. Would you agree with that? I mean, every one of us have done things we shouldn't have done. But when we do right, our conscience excuses us and we have joy. I have a joy. Why? Because I know the Father is pleased with me. Because I'm doing what God has told me to do in the Word. And I want you to notice, it is the commandment of the Lord. Why do I do what the Bible says? Why do I do that? Why should you do what the Bible says? It is because if you're saved and born again, you understand authority. You understand commands. Not everybody in our culture does. But the Scripture, the Word of God, is not 66 books of suggestions. It is 66 books of commands. Walk you in it. And the commandments of God are clear. They're not muddled. It's not like, well, I'm not really sure what he meant here. Why would God give us commands that are not clear? That's pointless. It is crystal clear. And so it enlightens my eyes, teaching me what is true and what is right and what is sure. So the commandment of the Lord, this book tells you the path to a joyful life is following God's law, his directives, his path. And it leads you to a clear conscience. And that's a good thing. And we can be thankful this holiday season for his precepts, for those things that have taught us how to live life and not fall in a ditch. Father, thank you. Thank you that when I do what you tell me in the word, I'm blessed. There's peace in my home. There's joy in my soul when everybody around the table is in the Lord. Isn't that what we want? Huh? We want everybody around the table. We want them in the family. We want them in. And that comes when we stand on the word. And then number five, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. What is it to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, all of us displayed a fear of the Lord this morning. At least we did if we were following Pastor Stacy. To the fear of the Lord, there are different words that I think express the fear of the Lord. Worship, adoration, exaltation, praise. What is the sign of the fear of the Lord in me? That I bless him. That I sing his praise. That I bow my head in prayer before him, that I may fall on my knees before him. Why? Because he is the Lord who is worthy of what? Worship, right? He's worthy of worship. Look at the truth in your outline. The Bible is a manual on worship. It's how I am to live in my family. It teaches me what God is like. It reveals to me how to live, to be blessed, and to be my life to be preserved. And it is a pathway to a clear conscience. Ladies and gentlemen, any culture, any time, any nation, any period, the Word of God is relevant. It is relevant. It applies to every generation at all time. So I want to ask you a question. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? What is it that you desire? I think if there's one thing that certainly I would want, and I think you would want it too, I want to be wise. I don't want to live life to where I'm, and I like to phrase it, I'm always like shooting myself in the foot. You know, I'm my own worst enemy. I don't want to go from one mistake in life, one act of poor misjudgment to another. I want to have discernment. I want to be able to know that's a ditch. I want to be able to know that's not the right path to take. And I want that for you. And what you've heard this morning is we give thanks this Thanksgiving season, number one, because the Bible, the Word of God, gives us that. The Bible gives us that. People want clarity. I want clarity for the dark things of life. We live in a confusing time. Would you agree? It's a confusing time. But the Word of God gives clarity. It keeps us from jumping off the cliff when other people are. The Word of God does it all. And that's why the psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 19, he said, "These words are more desirable than gold, yes, than fine gold, sweeter than honey in the drippings of the honeycomb." They're desirable and they're sweet. You see, God says, I want you to understand that the Word of God is your greatest possession. It is more important than gold, because you can get wealth and lose it all and not be able to have enjoyment in life because you keep making mistakes in life. You don't know how to live. And God said, I made you. I created you. And the Word of God is the owner's manual on how you and I should live our lives. And the Bible in verse 11 of Psalm 19, the Bible, the scripture says, is our greatest protector. It is by the Word of God that I am warned about what will destroy me and what will bless me. The scripture, David said, the Word of God have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. What keeps me from sinning? It's the Word. Beloved, the Word of God is our greatest possession. The Bible is our greatest pleasure. It is our greatest protection. It is our greatest provider. It is our greatest purifier. And so the psalmist, he ends Psalm 19. Look how he ends. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I say amen to that. I want to give you these 4 weeks, four things to be thankful for this holiday season. Number one is the Word of God. The Word of God. That you will love it, that it will be part of your everyday life, and that you will desire to follow it, because that's where you'll find joy. So let's bow together. Father, we thank you this morning for the greatness of your truth. And Father, we pray this morning that you will seal this great text in our hearts, that we will cling to Psalm 19, that it will be something for us to meditate on this week and this Thanksgiving season, so that out of it there may come glory to your name as we live in response to it. And Father, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus and for